It is football. It's the playoffs tomorrow, and the Chiefs and the Titans, the first game of four this weekend in the National Football League. The Chiefs, last I checked, the 9-point favorite against the Titans at Arrowhead tomorrow. You can hear it on Z96.3 The Lake with our pregame at 2 o'clock. And here to break it all down for us is Seren Petro, host of the program weekdays, Monday through Friday, 10 to 2, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City, a good friend of our program and a good personal friend as well. And Seren, first of all, Happy New Year. Hope you had a great Christmas. And what would be a great gift for a lot of Chiefs fans would be a W tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. We did have a great holiday. Thanks for mentioning that. And same to you. I hope everybody had a great holiday season. And yes, it would get better. A nice little late holiday gift for you if the Chiefs get a winner. You mentioned 9 points, 8.5, somewhere in that range. And bet up to that, I think, which is important to note, that some of the guys out in Vegas looked at that and said, hey, we really like the Chiefs in this situation. And so, they're in kind of a different spot. I mean, at least in the Andy Reid era, how many playoff games have they played where they're supposed to win at Indy? I don't think so. Even at Houston, I think they might have been a mild favorite down there against the Texans, but they weren't a heavy favorite. They certainly weren't favored at New England. I think they were some kind of mild favorite against the Steelers, but not this kind of, if you don't win. Listen, if the Chiefs don't win this game, there's going to be a lot of explaining. I think we know what the answer is. They'll immediately turn to Patrick Mahomes, but this is a game that they're supposed to win, and they damn well better win, or we're going to hear anger and frustration from Chiefs fans like we haven't heard since probably about 2003 or maybe even 1997.
If the Chiefs would lose this game tomorrow, is that the end of Alex Smith in Kansas City?
I don't think it matters whether they win or lose. I think they're moving on to Patrick Mahomes next year. They've got a cap situation right now that they were going to have the NFL draft today. They couldn't draft. They're over next year's salary cap already. And that's with expiring contracts. I think it's important to note. It's not like, oh, you mean guys that don't have a contract, we bring them back. No. Even guys that have expiring contracts coming off the books, just the raises that are due for contracts that are already signed, the Chiefs are over next year's salary cap. They can't even field a 53-man roster, and they cannot have an NFL draft right now. Now, there's nothing to panic about. It doesn't mean that they're in some situation that can't be solved. But it can't be solved, I don't think, realistically, by carrying both Justin Houston at $20 million under the cap and Alex Smith at $20 million under the cap, which is his number is going to go to that next year. So could you renegotiate a number of contracts around them? Yeah, probably. That's a lot of work to do. I think more likely when they come to Justin Houston, who has not lived up to his $100 million contract at this point, and look for a renegotiation just to keep him in the fold. Yes, I think that will happen. And because they have the guy that they put a lot of draft capital into to go get and Patrick Mahomes behind Alex Smith, I think that's the obvious choice. You trade Alex Smith, you clear up that cap room, $16 million worth, and now it gets a lot easier. I don't think either one of these guys are going to be making the number that you see next to their names next year. I think Justin Houston will probably be wearing a Chiefs uniform. I don't think Alex Smith will, but if I'm wrong, if Smith is back, Houston will not be back. I don't know how to make this cap situation work the way it's set up right now.
Hey, just so you know, we're not losing you, but kind of going into a tunnel effect there a little bit. So I'll just let you know that as we try to adjust that a bit on our end and on your end maybe as well. Seren Petro, 810 WHB in Kansas City, is with us, host of the program Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Okay, so I agree with you, by the way. I'm with you, and I think that would make sense. But what kind of predicament, and I know this seems far-fetched for some Chiefs fans, but and I've heard this before from other people I've talked to, what do the Chiefs do if they make the Super Bowl? What do the Chiefs do if Alex Smith somehow, some way, leads a team to a Super Bowl championship and he's named the MVP? Would you really get rid of a Super Bowl MVP who just finished off a Super Bowl championship in Kansas City?
Wade, what are you going to do tomorrow if the sun doesn't come up?
I'm still gonna get up.
Yeah, right. I mean, okay. I mean, do you you sell all your sunblock stock? I mean, come on. I mean, let that happen.
I'm with you. I'm with you, dude. I agree with you.
I mean, I hear this, and you know what it is? It's because of the polarizing approach we take to things. We imitate everything we do politically with our politics. We now are applying to every other thing in life. Yeah. That is. I stick my flag in the ground and say I'm an Alex Smith fan. I don't care if they were willing to give me Aaron Rodgers. I would say I'd rather have Alex Smith. I'd come up with a reason why
sure.
It's better to have Alex Smith. I don't care if the greatest young quarterback prospect in the league was willing to be given to us. I'm not coming off it. I have said I'm Team Alex Smith, you know, just like people are Team Republican or Team Democrat. It doesn't matter what the other side does. They are on that side, and that's where we've gotten, and that's where that debate comes from. Listen, I'll tell you honestly, if that happens, I don't think it changes. I think it simply enhances the value of Alex Smith in a trade. That's all it does. Because give me the scenario of how they win, how they get there. Does Alex Smith throw for 440 and four touchdowns and no INTs, followed up by 370, 3-0? No. If they get there, Tyreek Hill's returned three different kicks for touchdowns. The defense has scored three different touchdowns.
Yep.
Justin Houston has come alive and really pressured the quarterback. Kareem Hunt has popped big runs. Tyreek Hill scored on a reverse. Listen, he's 33 years old. I mean, what? He's never thrown for 400 yards. He's only thrown for 300 yards about 7, 8, 9 times, and they're going to go up against playoff defenses. All right, what about a team that went 1-6 in the middle of the season says that they're going to put that many wins in a row together? Now, that being said, if you want to look for a dark horse sleeper team in the playoffs, the Chiefs are really a good team to pick because Andy Reid's been there and done that, because Alex Smith's been there and done that, because even though the defense hasn't performed well, there are good pieces in Chris Jones and Justin Houston and Marcus Peters that can maybe come alive and make some big plays. The Baltimore Ravens happened back in 2011, and they really weren't that good on paper. They took down the Broncos in overtime, got on a roll, really, you know, got out to a big lead on a 49er team that was better than them, and then survived the comeback with maybe some, what people will tell you, questionable calls at the end in that Super Bowl. It does happen from time to time. But if it does happen, the reason it happened is not going to be because of Alex Smith. It's going to be because of the overall team and the things that go on as a team. At some point, you've got to move forward. And Andy Reid looked at his team in Philadelphia with the 33-year-old Donovan McNabb, who I think history is going to say was a better quarterback than Alex Smith,
mm-hmm.
looked at his team in with an asset and said, I'm going to move him, and moved him in division to the Washington Redskins and turned it over to Kevin Cobb.
Yep.
Now listen, Alex Smith, in my mind, and I'm a Syracuse grad, so maybe it's a Syracuse thing, but you look up the numbers and decide who you think, look up the wins and losses and decide who you think's better. Alex Smith's not as good as Donovan McNabb, and Patrick Mahomes has got a lot more put into him than they put into Kevin Cobb when they turned it over to him. And I think everybody would agree is a better quarterback prospect than Kevin Cobb. If he made that decision then, why would he not make that decision now?
I'm with you. And that's what I would do. If I was in charge, I think I've already made my decision. Especially, I mean, I think I made my decision before Mahomes even played against Denver last weekend. And let's talk about Mahomes real quick, and then I want to get to the game tomorrow. Mahomes and how he performed against Denver, did that change anything, any of your thoughts as to the quarterback situation for next year based on how he performed in Denver, or were you already made up your mind, or did your mind change after seeing him do what he did?
No, I mean, to me, I thought he performed a little bit better than the expectations I had. You know, 390, four touchdowns, no INTs in the preseason. He had performed well. Now against the number two defense with a bunch of backups, I kind of thought 250 and 1-0 would be nice. He didn't get the touchdown. He had the INT. He had a couple of other throws that could have been picked. But again, this is the number two defense in the NFL, and he didn't have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, or Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he passed with flying colors. If that was to say he's going to the Hall of Fame, no. But he's good. You saw the arm strength. You saw all the tools, all the talents that the Chiefs have talked about. The moment was not too big for him. He stood tall in the pocket. He handled the rush better than Alex Smith handles the rush. He's got to coach out. He got to coach out a couple of bad throws from him. That's absolutely part of it. But no, I think the Chiefs' path was set on the day they made the trade, and nothing will change that. They understand it's not only about who's the better quarterback; it's what that cap is. And most Super Bowls are won by quarterbacks in their first year. In the salary cap era, if your name's not Brady or Manning, you generally win in the first year of a quarterback's contract. Roethlisberger Super Bowls, first contract. Flacco, first contract. Russell Wilson's two Super Bowl appearances and win, first contract. Just way to get there. Difference-making quarterback that's cheap, and the Chiefs will simply be burning those years if they don't get Patrick Mahomes on the field as the starter next year.
Chiefs-Titans tomorrow, first round of the playoffs. I am probably one of those that's in the majority that even if the Chiefs win tomorrow, I don't feel great about their chances going to Pittsburgh or going to New England. And I just haven't bought in fully to this team. I didn't last year. I haven't this year. I guess I'm one of those people that until I see it, I'll then believe it. This team does have flaws. You mentioned going 1-6 earlier in the year. They have won 4 in a row to close out the season. Now they have a matchup with Tennessee. A lot of people are scared about Baltimore. I heard some people say, I don't know if we'll see the Chargers again, even though the Chiefs own the Chargers, it seems. Buffalo seemed to be a really good matchup, I thought, for the Chiefs, but they got the Tennessee Titans out of all of that mix. Is this a good matchup for the Chiefs? And give me the reasons why the Chiefs will win tomorrow and why they wouldn't win tomorrow.
Yeah, man, and I'm with you. I think Buffalo would have been a nice matchup. You get a revenge factor, and I just don't think they're that good. I think the second best choice is the Titans. Chargers would be nice. I don't like trying to beat a team three times in a row. And Phillip Rivers, while he hasn't been great against the Chiefs, is a guy with a lot of ability. I like this Titans matchup. I'd like to believe, although I haven't heard any conversation about it, that they want a little payback for dropping a bad loss to the Titans last year. That game's not getting any run. Week 15 last year, the Titans came in with the Chiefs fighting for the AFC West. There was no reason, and the Titans being a pretty good team, there was no reason to lay an egg in the fourth quarter. They led 17-7 with 12 minutes to go and lost 19-17. I mean, that was a really bad loss to the Chiefs last year. I got to believe that serves as some kind of motivator. The Titans also aren't playing as well as they were then. Marcus Mariota hasn't had the same kind of season. I know people are talking about him getting healthy, but I don't think at this point you look at Mariota and say, he's a guy that's good enough just to flip a switch. So him playing the role, I definitely think that the blueprint has been laid out by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's what the Titans will try to do. They'll try to run, but Henry's not Bell. Their line's not the Steelers' line. Mariota's not Roethlisberger on the offensive side of the ball. And flip it around on defense, while Dick LeBeau knows the 3-4 zone blitz scheme, which has worked very well for the Steelers against the Kansas City Chiefs, he again doesn't have the same kind of personnel that the Pittsburgh Steelers have, and he doesn't have the cushion of what the Steeler offense does and how you have to try to maybe over-attack that 3-4 zone blitz scheme against the Steelers, because you know you got to keep up with the Steelers on the other side, the Steeler offense on the other side. So, look, I think Tennessee's going to have a blueprint. I think it might be kind of a fight for a little while, but I think at the end of the day, the Chiefs just have too much talent and should be able to run away from the Titans. Titans might get a cover. They might hang around and Chiefs win by 6 or 7 points, but I think it'll be a major disappointment if Chiefs fans are having to nibble on their nails watching a field goal go up from Harrison Butker to try to win this game.
DeMarco Murray's been ruled out running back for the Titans. Is that a big blow to the Titans? Is it one of those things the Titans can overcompensate for and be just fine? Do you think that's a big – will that have a big impact on the game that he's not suited up?
Yeah, I think it's a blow because I expect the Titans to come out and run. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see him run three times and punt. I mean, I think they know that they've got to come in and run the football. Generally speaking, rushing attacks go away in the postseason, and you don't see guys having big rushing days as running backs. That's generally speaking because you're running into good defenses. Bad defenses don't get into the postseason. The Chiefs are better against the run this year than I think they were last year when Le'Veon Bell came in. I think they're playing much more aggressive football, more physical football, and they're trying to take the game to the other side of the line of scrimmage, which, by the way, I think is a result of Andy Reid giving up the play calling on offense. I think why he did that was to go address the defensive side of the ball. I don't have anyone who's told me that. But at the same time that Andy Reid put calling plays on offense, the defense got better. And that's partially because they've gotten back to the run and killed the clock, and that's helped the defense out. But I think schematically they've been more aggressive, more physical. They're trying to do something on the other side of the line of scrimmage, which I think is an important part of the equation. Mariota's a little tricky in the sense that he can run. But I think you've got the personnel. They don't have the weapons really to beat you to where you can leave a spy home, middle linebacker, safety, to make sure he's not running for first downs. And I think the Chiefs have enough to get it done. Murray would help because it would give them more backs to run at you, more depth, more carries, more reps to just keep firing fresh legs at the Chiefs defense. So, yes, I think it does hurt Tennessee, but I don't think it changes the game plan at all.
All right, bottom line, what would you put the odds, your personal odds on the Chiefs getting out of the AFC, winning the AFC, and making the Super Bowl?
Making the Super Bowl? Yeah. You know, I talked with some of the stat guys. I think the Chiefs are like 3 or 4% to win the Super Bowl, so that would put their odds. I think it's, you know, harder to get out of the AFC than it is the NFC. So, you know, getting out of the NFC is probably, beating the NFC is probably only 1% of their disadvantage there. I would put the Chiefs at about 5% to get out of the AFC because I think the road is going to include going through Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady, And if it doesn't, I think Jacksonville is a team with their pass rush that can really create some problems for the Chiefs, and they're a team that might be looming on that other side. But I think the idea right now that they can go win at Pittsburgh and at New England, or at New England and at Pittsburgh, or even at Jacksonville, I just don't think this team is ready to do that.
No, I agree with you there, too. Okay, shift to the Royals real quick as we wrap this up. Eric Hosmer, there has been one report, although not confirmed by the Royals. Maybe it's just Scott Boras playing the media a little bit. 7 years, $147 million, perhaps an offer on the table from the Royals. Padres, 7 years, $140. Your thoughts on Hosmer? Would that be a huge mistake for the Royals to spend that much money and bring Hosmer back?
Why?
Would that be a huge mistake?
Who's better? Yeah. Who's better than Eric Hosmer? I mean, I listen to the fan base and I get it. And I am Captain Tank. I am Captain Rebuild. I appreciate and admire everything Billy Beane has done. Dayton Moore has trumped him in as far as building a team that can win a championship. So if Dayton Moore thinks this is the thing to do, then every Royals fan should get in line and buy in, because Dayton Moore won a world championship and represented the American League twice in the World Series. And if that man thinks it's the right thing to do, Royals fans owe him the benefit of the doubt, and everybody should quit complaining and whining and saying you got to tank. I get it. The Astros won the World Series this year. The dynamics of the draft and the slot money and what's available and what you get in free agency and what you can spend in Latin America are different now than they were then. I'll also point out, as long as we're going to sit and celebrate the Astros, they did not trade Jose Altuve, who everybody in this town at 13 and 14 thought the Astros would just hand over to the Royals because they were rebuilding. When they were awful, Altuve was on the team. They stayed the course with him. They had a franchise guy, a leadership guy that they believed in. Why couldn't Eric Hosmer be that same type of guy? Now, I don't think Eric Hosmer is ever going to win an MVP, but why would you give up the guy that is the leader in the clubhouse, who gives you everything he's got, who plays at a high level, that's a gold glover, that's been an all-star, that's won a world championship, and oh, by the way, might want to play in Kansas City, and you have no solution in the minor leagues for Eric Hosmer right now. Why would you walk away from that? Why do you care whether the money is in the bank account of David and Dan Glass or Eric Hosmer? Eric Hosmer is a guy who can play the game and has won in Kansas City. If he moves on, I wish him nothing but the best, and I get it. The economics, there is a limit where you got to watch a guy walk. The St. Louis Cardinals reached that limit with Albert Pujols. And wherever that is with the Royals, whether it's $40 million or $240 million, when you get to that number, you got to walk. And the Cardinals made the right move in walking from Albert Pujols. The reality is, if you can afford it, and so far, every time we've heard a number about what the Royals got to be at payroll-wise, for about the last 6 years, they've gone beyond that number. If it's 105 is the magic number, then we should probably believe it's 125 or 130. You don't have a better option. He's in the prime of his career. Is it a no-brainer? Is he a guaranteed lock to be great? No, one of the most common guys. In fact, the most common guy, if you look at Baseball Reference, Eric Hosmer at age 27 is Billy Butler. That scares the crap out of me. That he'll fall off a cliff and be terrible. Yeah. Right? There is risk. There's also names in the most similar players like Harold Bain and Keith Hernandez and John Olerud. So there are guys that you can dream a dream that he's going to be a franchise-caliber player that's going to play well for at least 6 or 7 years, if that report is true. And there's no reason to walk away from a talented player. I don't think people remember what it was like to lose 100 games. And frankly, I don't think the Royals can lose 100 games right now anyway. And after about pick 4 or 5, in the Major League Baseball draft, it is a crapshoot. So if you're not going to pick 1, 2, or 3, there's no reason to sit down there and pick 12th instead of picking 16th, or pick 8 instead of picking 11. You stay the course with Eric Hosmer if he's willing to sign on and it fits your budget.
Hey, I remember 100 lost seasons, and I didn't like those. The interesting point I've heard, and I think it's a great one, I saw yesterday on Twitter. Just not too long ago, Royals fans were whining about losing star players. We can't afford them. We can't bring them back. We don't even try. Now, some of those same people that said that then are whining about Hosmer re-signing with the Royals. Like, which way do you want it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I'm with you, 100%.
Absolutely.
100%.
Soria trade, yes, no, good trade for the Royals, or just simply great because they got the money off the books?
It magnifies how bad the signing was. I mean, it's a lesson that Dayton Moore needs to learn. That's one he really blew. But it's the direction they had to go. If, I'll say this, giving up Scott Alexander to get rid of that money, that does not sit well with me. Because that's an asset you could have gotten something for. And that is a scary thing to look at. Now, if it's being cleared and they're going to re-sign Hosmer and they're going to sign Moustakas to a 2-year deal or something along those lines, then I get it. But it's scary when they're giving up a good resource to unload money. That should scare Royals fans.
I agree with that as well. Okay, off-the-wall question real quick. Cold weather, if you could click your heels to so many times and go to a warm destination right now at this moment, where would you go?
Kanapali Beach, Maui. Absolutely love it. It's a fantastic place. I've been there for the Maui Invitational. If I could click my heels and be in one place, that's where it'd be right now.
You can take me with you. You have my permission.
Let's go.
All right. Sounds good. Seren, as always, we appreciate the time, and thanks for coming on short notice. And you can listen to Seren today and every weekday, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Happy holidays, buddy. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you soon.
Same to you, my friend, Wade. Thanks for having me.
That's Seren Petro, 810 WHB, Kansas City, here on the Sports Ticket.